This is the Human Rights Report from the University of Arizona's chapter of Amnesty International. I'm Jesse Bangu. Today, we continue our report on capital punishment and the arguments for and against its use. We will talk with Kathy Norgaard of the Coalition of Arizonans to Abolish the Death Penalty, or CAADP. But before we begin, we will look at recent human rights news. Mexican society was shocked by the murder of high-profile human rights lawyer Digna Ochoa y Placido on October 19th. Digna Ochoa was found shot to death in Mexico City. The killers left behind a note warning other human rights lawyers to stop their work or face a similar fate. Members of Amnesty International had written to Mexican officials on previous occasions when Digna had received death threats. She had been subjected to physical beatings, but none of these incidents had been properly investigated. Mexican President Vicente Fox condemned the murder and said he will support a full investigation, but many remain skeptical as he has not fulfilled previous commitments to improving Mexico's human rights situation. Locally, members of Amnesty International's University of Arizona chapter met with a member of President Fox's cabinet, Dr. Juan Hernandez. At the meeting on October 25th in Tucson, Arizona, Dr. Hernandez expressed sadness at this loss to Mexico's human rights community, but could not provide any further information regarding the investigation. In other news, we have an update on a previous story. In an earlier report, we described Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni's campaign against homosexuals. Under his direction, five members of Uganda's gay community were arrested and tortured before international pressure secured their release. Since then, two of the five have been granted political asylum in Canada and two others in the United Kingdom. The fifth currently resides in Canada awaiting final disposition of his own asylum claim. Finally, back in the United States, the state of Texas has executed another juvenile criminal in violation of international law. On October 23rd, Gerald Mitchell was executed in Huntsville, Texas, for a murder he committed at the age of 17. The United States has been criticized recently for their selective approach to international agreements, as they have performed two-thirds of all of the world's juvenile executions over the past 4 years. That concludes a brief look at current human rights news. I'm Jesse Bangu with Amnesty International. Today, we conclude our story on capital punishment by studying various arguments for and against its use in the United States. Supporters of the death penalty justify their position using a combination of the following arguments: that death is an appropriate punishment for murder, to satisfy the outrage of the citizens, to prevent the criminal from acting again, and to ease the suffering of the survivors. Some proponents of capital punishment claim that it is a deterrence to crime, although most have abandoned this argument. Even fewer offer the ethically extreme argument that society should not pay for room and board of a convicted murderer at the expense of taxpayers. Death penalty opponents point to its problems, that killing even a criminal violates basic inalienable human rights, and that death is an outdated and barbaric form of revenge more than a punishment. To abolitionist countries, we appear to be devaluing life and endorsing violence as a legitimate solution to society's crime problem. Furthermore, there is mounting evidence that capital punishment is unfairly applied by gender, socioeconomic status, and race of the victim. Regarding legal concerns, there are frequent claims of inadequate defense counsel, arbitrary application, and inconsistency with international judicial instruments. This violates each American's constitutional guarantee of equal protection. Other arguments focus on the possibility of killing innocent people, or similarly, the inability to reverse an incorrect decision. Since 1900, an average of 4 convicted murderers per year have later been found to be completely innocent. Many have observed that the death penalty has not decreased violent crime, and instead has increased violence in the communities where it has been used. States which allow use of the death penalty have significantly higher murder rates than those which do not, even when the states border each other. Also, we cannot deny the high material cost of implementing the death penalty. The more stringent court requirements, prison conditions, and the trial itself result in an extremely high price, sometimes costing 3 to 6 times more than the cost of a life imprisonment, depending on the state. Capital cases place a higher burden on the time and money of a state court system, which is usually already in short supply. Some states can barely afford to maintain capital punishment. Politicians often cite public support for death penalty, but that support drops when polls include the option for life imprisonment without parole. In general, support for death penalty has dropped to its lowest point in the past 20 years. The United Nations has consistently opposed the death penalty since 1948, when it adopted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights without any dissent from its members. The declaration proclaims each individual's right to protection from deprivation of life. Since then, the UN has implemented severe restrictions on the use of capital punishment, culminating in its boldest statement in 1989 when it adopted a protocol to the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, binding its parties to abolish the death penalty. It clearly states that human rights belong to everyone and cannot be granted nor taken away by any government. Over 30 countries have responded to this protocol by abolishing the death penalty, including South Africa, Canada, Bermuda, and New Zealand. However, the United States remains one of the leading proponents of the death penalty, along with China, the Congo, and Iran. The U.S. has also executed juvenile criminals and mentally incapable individuals, despite growing international objection. Arizona State Senator Tom Smith, who spoke with us about capital punishment, explained how Arizona justifies the death penalty even when mental incompetence is shown.
I think if we make too much of the mentally incompetent, it's really going to stretch out the process, because there's no question that everybody is going to plead mental incompetence, and it'll have to take time to prove that he was mentally competent in order to stand trial.
However, the reality is that defense attorneys rarely use mental health defenses because they are so hard to prove, reserving them mostly as a last resort. Statistics show that mental deficiency has been used successfully in only 0.26% of all capital cases, or about 1 in 400. To get a better local perspective about the death penalty, we spoke with Kathy Norgaard of the Coalition of Arizonans to Abolish the Death Penalty, or CAADP, who gave us more detailed information about capital punishment and Arizona. Although both organizations oppose the death penalty, CAADP is not affiliated with Amnesty International.
The Coalition of Arizonans to Abolish the Death Penalty is a nonprofit organization organized a few years back to educate the public about the inequities and the very major problems with the death penalty. It's a statewide membership organization.
I asked Kathy for her views on capital punishment, starting with her views on the justice system.
Number one, just like in this tragedy that we're all involved with in our nation, you know, since September, we get caught up in the whole conglomerate of emotions, and people never make their best decisions when they're in the midst of severe emotional trauma. If you are the victim and that someone in your family has been murdered, it's not a time that you're going to be at your best. And it's a time when that, very kind of base primal reaction of getting even, taking revenge, comes up. It comes up for all of us. I mean, we all have that we'd want to strangle somebody with our own bare hands. Our justice system is in place to protect us against emotional kind of reactions. And, I don't think anything is ever well served when it's based primarily on emotion.
Some of these emotional arguments, though, form the basis of some of the strongest arguments in favor of the death penalty, that satisfies the anger of the citizens or to ease the suffering of the families of the victim. How do you respond to these and any other arguments in favor of the death penalty?
Well, I think it's interesting that you bring that up, because we just had a statewide meeting. We had a couple of local psychologists talk about the issue of closure, which is a term that we hear a lot, that if a victim's family member has an execution of the person who was convicted of murdering their loved one, that they're going to be able to reach closure. The reality is, these two psychologists pointed out, and there's a lot in the literature to support this, there are some things that are so horrific in our lives, that are so horrendous, and that hurt us at such a deep level, that there's never closure. So one of the things that happens, someone's murdered, there's an execution, the family member believes, gosh, he didn't suffer enough. he died too easily, or I still don't feel good, so I've got to watch more executions. It's a whole basic premise about violence, that violence never brings us to any kind of resolution. Violence just begets more violence.
And there's still a lot of people out there who feel that a serious crime such as murder requires a serious punishment such as execution. Would we be considered to be viewed as soft on crime if we let the killers live?
Again, you know, if we look at statistics, there are, you know, something like 20,000 murders in this country every year. And we don't have that many people that are sentenced to death every year, so not everybody that commits murder is sentenced to death, which is part of the problem with the arbitrary, capricious nature of how the death penalty is put into place. I think we have to ask ourselves, who are we, and what kind of a nation are we? What kind of a people are we? Do we value human rights? Do we value life? Do we believe that the worst thing that we have done as individuals is all that we are? People who commit horrific crimes, again, it's usually in the state of emotion. Not always, but usually. I mean, there are those kind of really people that are pretty on the edge of any kind of functioning, like the guy Jeffrey Dahmer a few years back in Michigan. But we have other ways. I mean, in Arizona, for instance, we took a poll. We had a professional polling company last year. We found that 20% of Arizonans don't want the death penalty under any conditions. They're just opposed to the death penalty. But then, when you bring up the question, if you have life without parole, how do you feel about the death penalty? And then it's like around 50% who don't want the death penalty. So if you factor in people who are undecided, I mean, already 50% of people in our state don't want the death penalty because we have life without parole. We have prisons that are so secure, mice don't get in and out. And people are not going to harm one another in prison when they're under these maximum security. They have no contact with other human beings.
So on the same subject, are there any other reasons that you and your organization oppose the death penalty?
Well, we, as a conglomerate of people, oppose it probably for every reason imaginable. For me, it's based on moral principles that really only our maker has the right to take life. That we as human beings don't have the right to take life. It's about nonviolence generally. That's certainly, some people fall under moral, religious reasons, but there's the whole gamut. The issue of the cost, and when we spend these horrific amounts of money to bring about a death penalty, it's tax dollars that we can't use other places, that we can't use for education, that we can't use for prevention programs. Certainly, like I said, the arbitrary, capricious nature of the death penalty, the fact that it depends on who the victim is, to a large part, what the sentence is going to be. I'm talking to you, you're a man of color. If you're murdered, the person who murders you is far less likely to get the death penalty than if they murder me, a white woman, because we're a racist nation, and it plays out in our court system. So there's just a whole myriad of reasons.
Maybe you could talk a little bit about what you're actually doing, maybe some recent activities that you have, or something coming up, and how people can take part in them.
Well, we really are a volunteer organization. We have a website, www.caadp.org. We just had a couple of major events. We had Sister Helen Prejean. They made the movie Dead Man Walking, was here. We had a big statewide conference. There's a lot of ways people can be involved. They can be involved in educational efforts, legislative efforts, recruitment efforts. So if folks are interested in getting involved, they should give us a call here in Tucson at 325-6240. We did successfully pass a bill last year that ended the death penalty for people with mental retardation. And we have new legislative goals, always to end the death penalty as a whole, but if we have to end it piece by piece, that's what we'll do.
That was Kathy Norgaard speaking to us here in Tucson, Arizona. And that concludes our report on capital punishment. For more information on Amnesty's campaign against the death penalty, look at www.amnestyusa.org/abolish or look at www.caadp.org to find out about the Coalition of Arizonans to Abolish the Death Penalty, or you can call them at 1-325-6240. Thanks to Senator Tom Smith and Kathy Norgaard for speaking with us. Amnesty International is an independent human rights organization working for fair trials, ending torture, abolishing the death penalty, and freeing those who have been in prison solely for their beliefs. Amnesty International is not affiliated with CAADP. This has been the Human Rights Report, produced by the University of Arizona's Amnesty International chapter. I'm Jesse Bangu.